This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to another edition of Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, July 15th, 2026 edition. And I'm excited for this hour to speak with you. Whatever is on your mind, we are here for it. The show is about making you a better investor. And we mainly do that by bringing you data, bringing you perspective so that you can make better decisions with your money. But most of all, it's about you, what is on your mind. And that's why we collect your questions in various ways. Our favorite is always a live call or leaving a question on our voice bank 24/7. Either way, that is a great way. Those are great ways to get us your questions, your concerns, so that we can not only help you, but help others within the Invest Talk community. Because I guarantee you that whatever's on your mind, question you might have, is something another Invest Talk listener has as well. So you're helping many of you out there by picking up the phone and giving us a call. So give me, I'm ready for whatever's on your mind. 888-99-CHART is how to get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, in just a bit, we're going to talk about today's market performance and then run down show topics for the hour. But first, let's tackle this first caller question now.
Hello, wanted to get your opinion on Sprouts Farmers Market. The ticker symbol is SFM. Thank you.
All right, looking at Sprouts. SFM is the symbol. It's the name that we used to own for clients. Still like the name. So I'm just pulling up my computer's running a little behind today. Maybe it's the heat. I'm not sure, but it's definitely dragging a little bit. But Sprouts is a name, like I said, we used to own for clients. We sold it as it started to lose its momentum, well above $100 per share, and it continues to kind of lose some momentum. It's now down to $73 and change at the close today, but it's still a very, very good business. Good balance sheet, only about $2 billion in debt on a $7 billion market cap. Free cash flow of $360 million, which is down from its all-time high around $500 million. But you're still getting a free cash flow yield of about 5% or so. It's pretty good. Return equity, 36%. I like that. What's it doing with its cash flow? It's buying back shares. It continues to do that. So I think it's good capital allocation. Earnings this year are supposed to be at 5% and then 6% next year. And the reason it's struggled recently, I think, is more to do with that slowing of growth. In 2023, earnings are up 19%. 2024, earnings are up 32%. 2025, last year, earnings are up 42%. But since then, once again, expectations for growth have slowed dramatically, which means multiple contraction. Question is this cheap enough? Because forward-looking EBITDA, enterprise value EBITDA, is only at about 10, which is near the low end of its range. My issue, though, is the technicals remain too poor. It just recently hit a high around 91, and just over the past 6, 7, 8 trading days or so, it's down to, like I said, 92 and change. So quite the pullback. I would probably take a shot on it around 65. I think it's cheap at those levels. I think it's good risk versus reward at those levels. The question is, where is the ultimate bottom here? I think long-term, this is a good area. Anything in the 60s, I would say, is a good, you're talking about 10 times forward-looking earnings. For everyone else out there, Sprouts, they're big here in California. They have a lot of stores, grocery stores here. It's all about organic foods, natural foods, vitamins, supplements. It's a great store to shop at. I shop there regularly. So I love the business. I love the store. I like the long-term value here, but understand the technicals still leave a lot to be desired. I would want to see this in the mid-60s to really load up, but I think you're getting there. And with a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, time permitting, we'll get to all of it. We had a great show yesterday. We looked into this story, how to protect your portfolio from inflation's second wave. We also answered a listener question on Costco. So if you happen to miss it, go check it out. Best way to get every show is to follow InvestTalk wherever you get your podcasts. And once again, we have a great show for the next 45 minutes or so. Our main focus point is how retail investors are chasing the shiny objects while ignoring the S&P. New data shows retail traders are piling into speculative assets. And momentum plays, sector momentum plays. This is a behavioral pattern that is historically late cycle risk-taking. So we'll explore the psychology behind this trend and why chasing shiny objects always ends badly for individual investors. We'll also talk about other topics, including Brussels and European banks. They're actually loosening their regulations. And frankly, this is a good thing for the broader economy, at least in the short term. It's inflationary. But we'll talk about that, what that might mean for the broader economy. And then small caps are doing very well. They're drawing their best return in more than 20 years. Why is that? We'll talk about that. But ultimately, I want to know what's on your mind. 8899 chart is how you get through and ask your question on today's show, as always. But we have voice bank questions on the iShares Core Dividend ETF, DIVB, as well as Coherent, COHR. And then, of course, questions that came in via the InvestTalk YouTube channel as well. But once again, we're going to go to a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
8899 chart, 8892-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. So don't hesitate to pick up the phone. Take a look at the market today. It was a bounce back day overall, especially for the NASDAQ, up about 2/3 of 1%. Really driven by the Mag 7, have been doing well. But what's interesting is the chip stocks, they struggled today. Despite news that Apple is eyeing potential acquisition of an AI chip company, maybe it's a smaller name that's going to compete with these other AI chip names. We'll see. That was the big news. You also had a buyout of PayPal by a combination of Stripe and a private equity firm. So that was, those are some big news on the day. From an economic standpoint, you had PPI that was a bit lower than expected. Consensus was 0.4% growth. It actually was 0.2%. Prior was 0.1%. So you're still getting acceleration in that growth of, especially ex food and energy. If you look at the broader number, it was down about 0.3%. Consensus expectation was a deceleration of 0.25%. So once again, food and energy, the core number remains elevated. It wasn't as bad as the market had been expected. Empire Manufacturing, that saw an acceleration. Headline reading increased by 9.9 points to plus 15.6, way above consensus. So the demand on the manufacturing side continues to be strong, obviously driven by AI data center CapEx. Retail sales came in at 0.3% growth, following a 0.9% increase in May. So deceleration there. Core, the core group expected to be at 0.4 after a 0.7% gain. So Retail sales still relatively strong, but definitely decelerating there month over month. BlackRock did have a comment on private credit. It talked kind of up the industry and its institutional demand. I'm not sure if I believe that, but that's at least did move that stock today in a big way. So overall, you had, let's see, treasuries are a bit stronger, yields down about 1 to 5 basis points across the curve, dollar index off 0.5%. Really, this is driven by what now is a bit more dovish expectation for rate hikes that continues to come down from closer to 2 rate hikes expected by year end. And now, what are we at? Yeah, I mean, the market's base case is basically 1 rate hike, maybe less. I'm starting to, because of the political backdrop as well as inflation, which I think is still going to be sticky high, but maybe not accelerating in the back half of the year. I think that you could see the Fed doing nothing. And the market's starting to price that in. That's why you saw, once again, dollar weaker, rates down a little bit. Gold was down 0.4% of the day. Silver off 2.8% on the day. Bitcoin up 0.4%. WTI was up slightly on the day. As what's going on in the U.S. or in Iran continues to, I don't say spiral, but just bubble underneath the surface. No real resolution on the horizon over in the Middle East. So that was the market today. Very interesting day. Certainly, like I said, a rotation out of a lot of the hardware names. SanDisk down 8%, Micron down 8%. I said this over the past couple of weeks that the hardware names, there's been a lot of growth extrapolation into the future. That reminds me a lot of what happened with Zoom during COVID. And I think there's a correction in the works within that space. Maybe it's one to buy eventually, but it creates a lot of near-term risk for that part of the market. The good news about the market is you're getting a broad-based strength from other sectors. And that likely is will likely keep the S&P relatively buoyant. So that was the market today. Now let's swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a fresh listener question now.
I'm looking to get your thoughts on Twilio, ticker TWLO. I'm looking to hold for 3+ years, but I really want to get InvestTalk's input. Thanks in advance. Bye.
All right. Looking at TWLO, Twilio. This is a very interesting one. It's a name that struggled to make money for a long period of time. Then it became profitable. It's supposed to earn $6.65 next year. Growth is in the low to mid teens, but based on forward-looking earnings, you're talking, you know, mid-30s multiple. It's pretty expensive in my book. I think this is ran. It's too expensive. I don't think this is a good time to get in. And the question is, will AI disrupt what they do? It does messaging and voice. It's basically, from what I remember, it creates these kind of plugins for software developers. And I'm surprised that this is to kind of create certain features for software very easily. And the question is, will AI usurp that? I think there's a lot of risk there. I just think it's too expensive after the recent run. So I would be out on Twilio, TWLO. And our work continues after this break. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
It's official. Total lifetime downloads for the InvestTalk podcast are now more than 63 million. Justin Klein is here now, taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about a proposal that is due on Friday. This is going to be a very interesting potential development. This is around the European Commission's regulation on banks. For years, lenders have argued that the overlapping capital requirements from different authorities across the world really puts them at a disadvantage. And a lot of them are or feel hampered by too high of capital requirements. The US and the UK recently lowered capital requirements or leverage ratios on the banks. And what this is going to do, if they roll this back and put them on par with US, the United States and the UK, is unlock lending capacity. Now, it sounds boring, but it's very important. I've said this time and time again. It's one of the most important metrics to follow for the macro environment, what's going on with the broader economy. Are banks lending more? Are they lending less? Not just here in the US, but abroad as well. Because remember, money is fungible. What does that mean? It means that when you borrow money, it creates currency. It adds more leverage to the bank balance sheet. It creates currency 10 to 1 typically compared to deposits that are on that are in that bank. Okay, so if you borrow $1 million, the bank only has to have $100,000 of deposits. That extra $900,000 was just created into existence. And then you can take that $1 million and you can go buy euros, go buy yen, go buy Indian rupee and do business there, or buy something in those countries. So if the European Commission is going to loosen standards and allow their banks to lend more, well, that could be more euros that are created that then get translated back into dollars and then buys real world assets, stocks, bonds, can do more business here in the US, etc. And this is the case for banks around the world, especially the largest economies from China to Europe and beyond. So this new draft proposal, this is just a proposal that's coming out Friday. Its goal is to improve competitiveness within the sector. It's going to overhaul the European Deposit Insurance Scheme, kind of like the FDIC. It's a plan that's been deadlocked for years because countries like Germany don't want to see losses in other countries that creates a bank failure that is now puts, for example, German citizens on the hook for losses in other parts of the Eurozone. So this is designed to kind of shore that up. And it will also allow them to move capital around the Eurozone more freely. Because right now, for example, The point is, this is going to potentially change the way the European banking industry works and can provide more liquidity for the broader economy. Now let's keep things moving. Go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. This is Brad calling from Texas. I'm a long-term buy and hold investor, and I'm looking for your take on Coherent Corp, ticker COHR. With the explosive growth in AI infrastructure and data center demand, their fundamentals seem strong. However, the stock has had a massive run, and I'm seeing some mixed short-term signals recently. As someone who wants to keep and hold for the long haul, I'm trying to decide if this is a high-quality name to keep letting ride or its valuation is getting stretched enough that it's worth taking some profits. Where do you see the fair value right now? And would you be a holder here or looking to trim the position? Thanks, guys. Love the show and appreciate your unbiased analysis.
Coherent. It's a company that is engaged in the development, refinement, manufacturing, and marketing of engineering materials, optoelectronic components and devices, and lasers in the use of industrial communication, electronic, and instrumentation markets. I know that was a mouthful. But they have three segments: networking, materials, and lasers. Their business has boomed, as the caller said, in the AI era. Earnings this year is supposed to be $5.46, up from $3.53 last year, and $1.67 the year before. So business is booming. Problem is that it's now trading at mid-30s multiple going forward, which is on the expensive side. And return equity is still pretty meager. And free cash flow is negative. So why is free cash flow cratering? That's my big question. I need to answer that question. Is it they're building out capacity? What is it? Their balance sheet's good. I just don't like the profitability. And you're right. Near term, the whole industry is pulling back and this is similar. So I would be very patient on this name. And I really want to understand the cash flow dynamics that are at play right now. Now, the next and best stock, we'll look into this question. Is the AI rally ignoring a real geopolitical threat to tech stocks? We'll talk about that tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. Ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART. At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review. Do you ever think about how two people can be the same age, yet one just seems to have more energy, gets better sleep, and recovers faster? That difference usually has less to do with actual age and more to do with what's happening underneath the surface. That's why I'm excited to share the good news about the True Age test from True Diagnostic. It's an at-home test that looks at markers on your DNA using epigenetics to determine your biological age, not just how many birthdays you've had. Here's what brings the value to the True Age test. It doesn't stop at a single age number. You get your biological age, your pace of aging, and a breakdown of how 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, brain, lungs, and liver. You also get 75 plus longevity biomarkers, translated into clear, easy to understand insights around things like metabolic health and immune function. So instead of just getting raw data, you actually get a more complete picture of how your body is functioning day to day. You get personalized recommendations based on your results, things like sleep, nutrition, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle changes. So you have a clear roadmap for improving your health over time. The process itself is very simple. It's just an at-home finger prick. You send it back in the prepaid kit, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get your full report online. So if you're serious about longevity, or even just curious whether your body is aging faster or slower than your actual age, this is one of the easiest ways to find out. Right now, go to truediagnostic.com and use code INVEST20 for 20% off your entire order. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST20 for 20% off.
Invest Talk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch Invest Talk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Our main focus point today is about retail investors and how retail investors are chasing shiny objects while ignoring the S&P as a whole. And this is typically late cycle behavior. And the latest evidence is really Bitcoin. Investors piled into these Bitcoin ETFs throughout 2024 and into 2025. But since, it's pretty much cratered. In aggregate, investors in the original cohort of Bitcoin funds lost on average 5.8% annually. From October of 2024 through January of 25, so pretty short period of time, when Bitcoin was up over $100,000, investors put in $20.7 billion into these funds. Then from May of last year through July, they put another $15.7 billion. But from November last year through May, the price of Bitcoin collapsed over 30%. And investors pulled out $6 billion out of those funds, locking in those losses. This is very, very common. You've seen this with the Roundhill meme stock ETF as well. It's up 35% this year, but it's still down dramatically from when it launched in October of last year. The people who under or bought during the initial inception are now underwater. And you also see investors now piling into things like the data infrastructure ETFs, the DRAM, right? The Roundhill memory ETF that absorbed $8 billion in a single month recently. So investors are actually selling out of the S&P, a lot of the Mag 7 names because they're not working, and into these highly volatile, high beta names. Problem is, history shows that by the time the theme hits the market and you have these ETFs that are launched, that is the worst time to invest in them. Institutional money is already priced in future earnings growth, and just a small disappointment and a reversal of those flows means big drops, big losses for the average person that got in when those themes were all over CNBC, all over the Wall Street Journal, and most of the good gains were behind them. This is called recency bias. It causes individuals to project short-term outperformance indefinitely into the future, and it also capitalizes on us being humans. We are story-driven people. We're emotional people. It's what we are. We're emotional beings. Now, when investors aggressively rotate into speculative high beta assets like these DRAM ETFs, this is late cycle behavior. This happened in speculative assets in 1999, as well as 2021 with the meme stocks and SPACs. Remember that? And when the fundamentals don't support the valuations and there's that reversion to the mean, well, you see what happens in years like 2022. So how do you handle this? Number one is, it's okay to sprinkle in some speculative bets in your portfolio, but it should be a small percentage, 5 to 10% of your portfolio, not 50, 60, 70, 80, 100%. And it's okay to make these concentrated bets on a particular sector when you have a legitimate informational or analytical edge, not because you read it in an article or saw it in CNBC or because your friend or your cousin bought it. No, it's because you have a deep expertise in the sector, for example. Maybe you're a doctor and you understand the biotech field. Maybe you're in software and you understand what type of software products are in demand and not in demand. Whatever that might be, that can give you an informational edge where you can make bets, make investments in companies that are underappreciated, where the market hasn't built that narrative. But because of your local expertise, you can pinpoint that before everyone else. This is very different than chasing a trend. You need fundamental analysis, you need a margin of safety, and a clear thesis for why the market is mispricing the asset. Guess what? After it's up 2, 3, 4, 500%, market's probably not mispricing the asset. Doesn't mean you can't keep going up in the short term, but understand that isn't a screaming buying opportunity. Now, let's slip in another listener question now.
Yes, this is Doug from Georgia. I haven't missed a day of the podcast in at least the last 7 years. But I was looking for a decent ETF and found the iShares Core Dividend ETF, the DIVB. Not really for the dividend part of it, but it follows companies that has a history of dividends and buybacks. It seemed to be spread fairly evenly across information technology, financials, industrials, and healthcare. But it also had other parts of the market as well. But those were the main four parts of it. I know IBM is 5% of it. The last 2 days hasn't been a good thing, but the expense ratio is 0.05%. Anyway, just wanted to get your thoughts, and I appreciate any information. Thank you.
Well, first off, thank you for being such a loyal listener. Not missing a show for 7 years, that's some loyalty there. You'd probably be definitely the top 1% of InvestTalk listeners. So we really appreciate that. Now, DIVB, the iShares Core Dividend ETF, first thing I like about it is it's more mid-cap. It's more of a mid-cap value fund, low expense ratio. P ratio is 2.7%. Sorry, not P ratio. The yield, 2.7%, which is not low, but not crazy high. I like that it's not just chasing the highest dividend payers. So I like it from that aspect. It's still pretty overweight technology. 31% of the portfolio is technology. Like you said, IBM, now it's the second largest holding after this recent drop. ADP is its top holding now, which is a solid business. Then Accenture, which is, I think, struggling in the age of AI with, you know, will consulting be as good of a business going forward as it had been in the past? Probably not. JP Morgan is next, pretty good. Paychex next, pretty good. I think my issue is just that those couple of those top holdings, which amounts to nearly 9% of the portfolio. And it's so tech heavy. So some good, some bad. I think you can do a bit better. I would like to see more diversity. Basic materials, less than 1%. Healthcare is 14. It's a little high for my liking. Real estate's only 3. I'd like that to go up a little bit. Industrial's only 4% of the portfolio. I'd like that also to go up considerably. So it's underweight a lot of the sectors that I would want to have more exposure to, and overweight a lot of sectors that I would want less exposure to, like technology. So I like the core of this, the base layer, but how it comes up with the portfolio and where it ended up kind of worries me. So I would need to see the portfolio as a whole. This could be part of it, but it definitely wouldn't be all of what I would invest in within a particular portfolio. Thanks for the call. Let's go answer another listener question now.
This is Rob calling from Las Vegas. I wanted to see if I could ask your insight and analysis on Lennox International. The stock symbol is LII. I have this as a position in my industrials portion of the portfolio. Just wanted to see if there's any future potential with this, future growth, or if I should potentially trim on this, or what your thoughts are. I'd be looking forward to your answer on the next podcast. Thank you.
All right, looking at Lennox International, they design, manufacture, and market products for heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration. Earnings this year is supposed to be up 5% and then 9% next year. Revenue's up 8% and then 5% next year. Decent, but here's my issue. With what's going on in AI data centers, you would think that their business is going to do much better. There's a lot of other HVAC companies that are growing much better than this. So clearly, their products are not the type of products that are being picked up by data centers. I would want exposure to those that had that level of expertise, had that level of growth. Now, the profitability is very good. Their free cash flow yield is okay. It's only about 3.5%. I'd want that to be much higher. Free cash flow is flattened out, so you've had very minimal growth as of late. And based on forward-looking earnings, you're still paying a low 20s multiple. I just think it's a bit too expensive for the lack of growth. If I'm going to pay above market multiples, I want it to be having growth accelerate. You're seeing the opposite now. Growth in 2024 was 26%, 28% in 2023. Then only 5% this year, 9% next year. I just think you can find better within this industry that's more tied to AI data center buildouts. Thanks for the call. What are we going to do next? Let's go to one more voicemail.
Hi, Justin or Luke. This is Sid from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm looking to check your inputs on Airbnb, ticker symbol ABNB, Airbnb. I'll listen to your response on the podcast. Thank you so much.
All right, looking at Airbnb, this is an interesting one. When IPO, how long ago was that? 2021. And it's a good example of you don't really want to buy these initial IPOs. This moved up all the way to over $200 per share, and it's been kind of meandering since. Now we're at 148, and that's after a recent rally where it bottomed in the fall around 111. So it's doing okay. Earnings this year is supposed to be $5.12 and $6.07 next year. Mid-20s forward-looking multiple at 148, not bad. Profitability, return equity, 31%. $4.5 billion in free cash flow. That has slowed, though. Growth has slowed considerably. They have a very good balance sheet, actually, about $11 billion in net cash on its balance sheet. What is it doing? Is it buying back shares? Yeah, it's buying back shares pretty aggressively. So I'm liking that. No dividend, but their dividend is really that share buyback, to be honest. Overall, I'm starting to like the numbers a little bit. It's not as cheap as I would like, to be frank. But if it hits those numbers for next year, it starts to look attractive. Because last year it earned $4.03, then $5 this year. So based on this year's earnings, 30 multiple, it's a little high. My issue is that analysts are downgrading earnings for next year. So I would want to consider a pullback, but this is starting to become a name that is looking relatively attractive. So once again, I want to put a little more of a pullback to get a better value, but I like the balance sheet. I like the cash flow. Even though growth is slowed, it's still a quality business. That's Airbnb, definitely on the watch list as a potential buy down around, I'll call it 130. In the 130 range, I'd pick up Airbnb. Thanks for the call. Now we're going to head into our final break. It's been a productive show. I think we've answered a lot of questions, but let's make it even more productive. Let's hear what's on your mind. I want to know what's on your mind. 888-99 chart is the number as usual. Maybe it's about the chip sector. Do you feel like this pullback is a buying opportunity? Do you have a name that's on your watch list? Maybe it's a income play. What's going on with the Fed, interest rates, all that, anything money related, we are here to talk about it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal each and every weekday is to help you become a better investor, help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
Well, first off, never take one man's opinion as gospel, including my own.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
When you give a recommendation on your show for a buy-in, like an entry point to buy a stock, if I already own it, should I go ahead and be looking to sell it?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Shane in San Francisco looking at Charter Communications, CHTR. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I'm looking to buy it.
Okay. For what reason?
They have some headwinds with the merger of Cox. I know that it's been about a 10-year support that it's testing right now. Quite a large pullback. I'm looking for an entry. Interested in your analysis. Obviously, it's a sector that has seen a lot of debt, $96 billion in debt. I know that that's probably one of its biggest overhangs, but I'm simply looking for a buying opportunity.
Well, that is the biggest overhang. The market continues to punish the name. It's been in a massive downtrend. It's all-time high. Jeez, I'm going to go back to a monthly chart here. It's up around $800 per share. That was back in September of 2021. When money was cheap, it was easy. And now it's down to $131 per share. So you're talking about, 85% drop roughly in the share price. And it's all because of that debt. Like you said, they have $94 billion in long-term debt. It's a $16 billion market cap. Free cash flow is $4 billion. But that has been in decline since 2021. That was when it was $8.6 billion. Yes, earnings. If you go based on earnings, it looks cheap, $44 per share. Problem is can it continue to pay this debt? It's times interest earned is 2.6. That is also peaked, and that peaked back in 2022. So it's telling you, the market is telling you, that you're trying to pick up pennies in front of a steamroller. What you want to see with this is a reversal on volume. Because if this is saved from bankruptcy, for whatever reason, it's going to reverse on volume and you're going to know it and you're going to then buy in. Because it will continue to go up and start to be priced like a company that isn't headed for bankruptcy. Right now, based on the momentum, based on the business model, that's what this is saying, that this is going bankrupt, which would make the equity worth nothing. So I think you're stepping in front of what they call a value trap.
Fair enough. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Thanks for taking the time.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Let's go talk about small caps. They're enjoying their best return in more than 20 years. The Russell 2000 is up 20% so far this year, on track for the best performance since 2003. The S&P is up about 10%. The Mag 7 is only up about 3% in the year. So what you're seeing right now is actually the market price and earnings for these smaller cap names driven by the spending of the Mag 7. So that's what you're seeing now is cash flow and balance sheets of these giant corporations are being spent into the economy as opposed to spent on buybacks or just held within the coffers of the business. And that spending is mainly going to these smaller cap names. Then on top of that, they're benefiting from favorable tax changes as well as heavy depreciation on, you know, from the tax bill on CapEx. Now, the good thing is this is broadening out the market. It's healthier for the market. But is this going to be sustainable is the question. Is that spending going to be sustainable? Are these hyperscales going to run out of balance sheet runway because the market stops financing $725 billion a year in AI infrastructure spending like they are expected to spend this year? So that's, I think, the bigger risk in the market, but it does show you, I think there is a secular tailwind to small and mid caps that is just beginning, and they're still cheap. I think there's a lot of value to be unlocked over time within this area of the market. I'm Justin Klein, reminding you of KPP Financial's parallel investing. We make a trade for our clients, make the same trade for ourselves, same time, same price, same percentage, no front runnings, no special treatments. We invest right alongside our clients to share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more by heading over to investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.